Good morning. Welcome to the July 13th, 2014 edition of Waking Up, Freeing Ourselves from Work. Sisters and brothers, we have been diving with Alice Miller's guidance into the dark waters of obedience. And today we're going to be clearing away enough of the muck to see the deep wounds of abandonment lurking there beneath. And by abandonment, I don't just mean physically, as happened to Hitler's father, but perhaps most potently, psychically, as happened to Hitler and to all of us underclass to a degree, due to a system that converts human energy into a commodity. But it ain't about money. It's about making sure we have nothing else before us but those orders, following orders. It's about obedience. Commodification is the mindset of eat or be eaten, manufactured scarcity. But it is a single mindset behind politics, conquest, establishing the republic, and economics, capitalism, eating the earth, underclass. A single mindset. Call it class, call it conquest, call it power. Call it Plato's abandoned children determined to realize his vision. But their unfelt imaginings, as Shakespeare termed it, cannot be attained. So they've put us all on a death train. Time to get off and find that freedom one. In this week's East Bay Express, which I picked up on July 9th, 2014, there's a piece by Sam Levin called The Fight to Develop West Oakland. And on its first page, there's an imagining of a future version of an intersection I know well because it's the one or near where I'm broadcasting from right now, we at Berkeley Liberation Radio. And in the imagining, it's a bustling place, unlike the sullen, concrete-dominated, yet stubbornly obedient space that it is now. No po-folks in sight. They want us gone. They don't need us anymore. Simple as that. So they are conquering the cities, these tribesmen of Plato. And it ain't about race per se. It's about loyalty, happiness, and obedience. It's about willingness to betray your brothers and sisters. They want us happy slaves or gone. What else the motive force behind that, if not hate? A hate millennia in the brewing. And a hate millennia in the brewing down. A pure distillate. They can feel it, these tribesmen. They can feel our looks of gratitude. They can feel the rich Egyptian cotton of their tunics lightly resting on their bodies. They can feel their meditative calm as they survey their work, padding about in their stringed sandals, the dead, clean streets that they made sterile. Hate, a pure distillate. Who can explain it, if not Alice? And as we walk with Alice through her genesis of hatred, this swirling mass of ever outward spinning lack of empathy, let's recall that another name for hate is ideology of division. And that its circle of contempt, to use Alice Miller's phrase, because globally affixed by being made systemic, is an ever-widening circle of division and an ever-widening circle of despair when we don't have each other for comfort, when we're huddled in our narrow spaces and are denied access to a vast wide world that is authentic, even in our imagination, as thought itself becomes forbidden, and as with all life, is under lockdown. And as we said in our June 22nd, 2014 show, if the truth can never be spoken, especially the reality of an internalized obedience that is enforced structurally. There's never any possibility of living our lives authentically. And the fact that internalized obedience is structurally enforced, the state inside by the state out, we must get clear on. And hopefully these shows will help with these discussions. We'll ask, why else suppress certain discussions? And why else train rulers to rule? You feel me? If this is the land that celebrates equality, why ensure that some tiny sum are trained to pretend they're masters? Why Bildung? Why differential education? Why training for mastery for some and others? For subjection? Why class? Plato's longing for a world in which all life is nailed in place, with faces inclined up in awe to him, is paid for with untold oceans of self-hate. And it is a self-hate because rooted in an initial abandonment, which the child, the subject, necessarily explains as his or her own deficiency, as the parent or the state, in possession of all the means for existing and therefore total agency, must be exempt from blame. And so the child, the subject, is cycled endlessly back to his first explanation that palls all life and shrouds her earliest beginnings.